This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
If I were you, if I were you, if I were you, the show
starts now.
Wow, old school.
Beautiful. Holds up. Holds up, I'll say that.
That was
it is aged like a fine wine.
That was you on the guitar back in May of 2013.
I think if you handed me the guitar, I would not remember the chords that I played.
Yeah, it was very short, and I didn't.
And there was only two.
I didn't even realize that I'm the one who said starts now.
Yeah, that was all. Completely improvised. The starts now.
Holy shit, that changed the course of podcast history. You know what the first episode was called? Our first episode?
Starbucks?
Yeah, it's the kill yourself at a Starbucks joke.
That's from episode one, and yeah. That is still with us today.
Yeah, so this is episode 400 of our show. We wanted to do a little walk through memory lane, and what better place to start than at the top? Episode one, Starbucks. A theme song that Jake performed and sang.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
When listening for the theme song, I just let the track play a little more. And oddly enough, the first minute of our first show, it didn't sound as old as I thought it would. I thought like we'd sound prepubescent for some reason, as if we were like 13 when it happened.
Okay, dude, what should we do? Press record, man.
let's fucking talk about our moms, dude.
We're making a fucking podcast, bro.
I guess I was 30 instead of 36, so not that different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of the same.
Some of the jokes we still use today. Let's play just the first minute of the show just to catch everybody up. This is the first minute of the first episode of If I Were You, May 8th, I think, 2013.
Yo. That was awful. That was the first, that's the way it's going to start. The first episode ever.
That was great. I rehearsed that for a year. Before we even thought of the podcast, I was rehearsing that.
Well, the name of the show is If I Were You, and this is the first episode. We're not always going to have Jake do the intro music.
We should.
Yeah. Well, we just haven't thought of intro music yet, and we wanted to get the show on as fast as possible.
So yeah, for now we're going to be, I'll be trying out a different intro song every single week until you guys hate me enough that someone can send in a song that we can use instead.
That's right. So this is the first and only advice podcast on the internet.
From us.
Hosted by us. Yeah, exactly right. I'm Amir.
And I'm Jake.
And we are...
Amir and Jake. You know, it's crazy. I had no idea that I said from us.
Yeah.
That's the origin of the intro that you make every single time.
Right. And I can't tell if I was setting up that joke and then you said it, or if you just came in there and created a joke that we then repeated 400 times.
I think it was an alley-oop. We have the same brain. You knew that I was going to say it.
Yeah. I remember being scared because this was the first thing that we did, quote, out of character.
Yeah.
That was such a big deal back then.
I remember you being scared. I remember that well. I was brave.
I'm like, should we do a podcast where we're not in character?
Yeah, it was like a weird little leap, but I remember being nervous that College Humor was going to sue us. That's what I was nervous about.
Well, we're going to do this thing on the side.
Yeah.
Can we do it on the side?
I remember like being afraid, do we ask or do we just tell them?
It was a very meticulously crafted email to the CEO at the time, giving him a heads up that we were going to do it.
Uh-huh.
It was like low-key asking for permission, but we never asked for permission. We told him we were going to do it ahead of time. Sort of testing the waters. Basically, like, this is happening, so if you're going to sue us for it, tell us before we do it.
Yeah. Please don't do it.
And he was just like, good, have fun, or do it, or whatever.
Well, you remember, just to back up even a little bit, so, like, this was 2013. We had been doing Jake and Amir episodes for 5 years. And do you remember the origin of wanting to even start a podcast?
Didn't it just come from our agent?
Yes.
Yeah, really, it was incredibly... prescient, is that the word?
And smart and good planning.
Truly.
He was like, you know, you guys do these live shows as Jake and Amir. We did, even the live shows we did in character, we never really performed as ourselves.
Yeah, we did the live shows fully in character.
Yeah. And then he's like, if you want, you should create a podcast, because a lot of my comic talent clients now, instead of coming up with stand-up, just do live podcast shows. You guys can do that, and then you don't have to go out as part of College Humor Live. You could just go on the road with your podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, huh, but wait, what? What would that? Aren't all podcasts done already? I mean, it's 2013. What's left?
Yeah, that was the thing that I remember you and I talking about. Like, if we do a podcast, what would the point? Like, are there too many podcasts out there?
Yeah, there's already Mark Maron's and Pete Holmes's, and I think
there's
that's
three
all. And then we couldn't really figure out what to talk about, because, like, what are our areas of expertise? It's not like we want to interview comics about their process. Like, we felt like a little outside of that game. Like,
yeah, we did not, because I think that was the other thing. Like, most of the podcasts we knew in the comedy space were like guests have a guest and it's an interview, and we're like, we don't want to book guests or write interview questions. That wouldn't be fun.
Yeah, also we can't be, quote, in character for hours at a time, where we're just like pretending as though we're these Jake and Amir people that are having conversations, because then it would like step on what College Humor owned as a web series.
Was there any other idea besides If I Were You?
I don't know. I bet we were toying around with a lot of ideas, but I think you came up with either an advice show or a dating advice show before we even started.
That's right. I remember that. I remember that G-chat. I remember pitching you the name If I Were You.
Oh, all right.
Because in my head, I'm like, if you say If I Were You, then like it takes away all credibility from your advice, because it's just like, this is the dumb thing I do.
Yeah, and it was also when we recorded, like, the first 30 minute chunk that College Humor fans got of us, where we were not like being pre-scripted silly dumbasses.
Uh-huh.
Like, whoa, Amir doesn't actually shove McDonald's down his fucking throat 24/7. This is bizarre.
This was the podcast where people found out that I'm the dumb one.
Yeah, we tried to do a little reversal as much as possible. And then we didn't really need any guests, because it was just us two recording. Do you remember where the first episode was recorded?
It was your apartment at 34 Berry.
That's right, in Williamsburg, in my kitchen. Just like those green and gold microphones
into
a Zoom recorder.
That's right. We still record on a Zoom. Some things never change.
And then I would edit on Final Cut, which is a video editing software, because I didn't know any audio editing software.
Don't you still edit on Final Cut? Or have you moved over?
Well, I moved over to just another video editing software, Adobe Premiere.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But it was so hard to make it sound good. Like, I would ask Jeff Rubin, who had a podcast, like how he
did it,
and he would like use Audacity and like Levelator and all these like new softwares that I had to learn to make it sound normal. But like a lot of the times it didn't quite at first, especially when we recorded at your apartment, which was incredibly cavernous and echoey.
That's right. I remember being like, oh yeah, we can do like my place and your place. I was thinking it was going to be so convenient for me. I wasn't going to have to leave. And then it really didn't work. And then I remember like hanging cushions and towels all around your apartment trying to get it to sound good.
Yeah, calling it the towel fort.
the towel for it. That's right.
The first like 6 months was just a struggle in audio quality more than anything else. Like I wasn't even concerned with what to say or how to say it. It was just like, how do I make it not quiet or too loud or too echoey? First guest. Do you know who the first guest was?
See, I thought it was Ethan Trex talking about his experience battling cancer.
Yeah, which might be true, but like that wasn't like the first full guest episode. That was like for one question.
That was the first phone a friend.
Yeah, thing. Our first guest was Ricky in episode 6.
Episode 6, RVV.
And we have our first ever guest today.
Wow, very special guest.
It's Ricky Van Veen.
Hello. You know what's funny? When I first started listening to the show, I've listened to all of them, by the way.
Thank you.
So
we told him to say that.
Long time listener, first time guest.
Long time. This show's been on for 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I was listening to it, and I was driving in LA with Allison, and I turned to her and I was like, "You know what the best part about this podcast is? No guests."
Was it like, "Hey, thanks for not suing us. Would you like to be on our show?" Was it like, "Oh, Ricky is the person we go to with advice"? Maybe a little bit of both.
I think we were that calculating that we were like, okay, so the CEO signed off and the founder of the company was on an episode. This is obviously A-okay.
We're in the clear and it's only 1 month deep.
This is ironclad.
But we still hadn't done any live shows with it. We spent like months and months just doing episodes.
Yeah. Oh, man. Do you remember our first podcast live show?
No, I do not.
I think I do.
Was it in London?
I think it was at Littlefield in Brooklyn. 110 seats.
Sold 4.
No, we sold it out, but and we were like super excited. Like it was one of the, it's funny now because like we do bigger venues and nobody gives a shit, like of our friends and family. But like at Littlefield, like both of our agents and managers were there. We had like all of our friends came out. It was like a big deal that we had a podcast.
This was 2013 after all.
And I believe the next day we were traveling to South Carolina for a College Humor Live.
Oh, I see. So we're still doing a little bit of both.
Yeah. But that was like the beginning of the end because we were like, wow.
Yeah. And November 10, 2013, Snail Trail live at Littlefield.
That's right. I think that was the first ever live show.
That was a great live show. I remember that question specifically, Snail Trail.
Unless she's snail trailing the walls. I don't know how this happened. But my question is, should I not tell my girlfriend my discovery? She recently asked if her house smelt like anything, and I said no, then later made the twisted realization. Thanks, DJ Jazzy Jeff.
The twisted realization, of course. Sherlock's deduced that, sorry, there's nothing else it could be. I think your mom's snail trailing. Yeah, I think she's getting turned on, getting herself wet, and just scooting across the floor and wall.
Yeah, like some sort of perverted sex Roomba. Like an air hockey puck being frictionless with her own mucous membrane, sliding hither and thither.
Oh my God.
Vertically.
Slimer just leaving tiny little traces of pee juice everywhere.
Yeah, and I think we had been on like another College Humor live tour with Streeter when we had already started the podcast, and like on the tour we're doing stuff like in Jake and Amir characters, and some of the people that had come out were like didn't find it funny because we weren't doing stuff from the podcast.
All right, like how many people just know us from the videos, and that was the majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we did a quasi live show even before that at Comic Con. Do you remember that?
Oh, that was, yes, with Pete Holmes.
Yeah, it was like a panel we did as episode 27. We had never done a live show. Pete had never heard the show before.
Yeah.
And we had to do it in front of an audience that didn't necessarily know who we are because this was just Comic-Con. So it was just like a panel of two dudes and Pete Holmes, and now we're doing our podcast in front of them.
Yeah, in retrospect, that was a bad time.
we shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, that was not our best.
That was episode 27.
Episode 27, damn.
And then your mom was on an episode fairly early on, too.
Yeah.
Jake's mom with Laura Hurwitz at episode 32.
I believe because the early episodes of our podcast were like really trying to figure out, I was going through some shit personally, you know? I was like a dating monster, piece of shit type guy.
That's back when the mom turned down the podcast days.
Yes, exactly. Now my mom can always turn the podcast up, except when I talk about my sordid past. I think a testament to how long we've been doing it for, my mom doesn't listen to the podcast anymore.
That's fair. I think I'm down to like one or two friends that still listen to the show.
Yeah, my brother and my sister, well, two of my siblings, at least two of my siblings still listen to the show. Shout out to Sarah and Micah. What up, y'all?
That's nice. I think my brother Ben still listens, but now that he's had his own child, maybe he doesn't listen to every episode. This will be a...
Well, I think he should have his daughter listen for sure.
This is a really good test, actually. Let's just start naming friends of ours. And if they approach us and like, yeah, I heard your shout out, then we know they still listen to the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. That's true.
Okay. So Rami, if you're listening, text me the following alphanumeric code. It's like when you're trying to log in. Yeah.
If he doesn't text you, you'll be mad at him next time you see him. And yeah, he won't know why.
Okay, how about this? I'm going to name some friends, and then I'll give them a week to listen to this, and then I'll go one by one up to them with a gun and say, what's the code? And if they say the code, their heart is true, and they can continue living. And if not, then I'll shoot them in the fucking throat.
You're under arrest now, man.
Oh, come on. It's just a goofy little game I'm playing to see which one of my friends still supports
what's
me.
Goofy
which one
about
should be
shooting
dead?
Somebody in the neck, dude?
I wonder when Matt Damon started as a bit.
I feel like that was pretty late in the game, wasn't it?
But like, can't you imagine like Matt Damon when he eats a wrap, it doesn't spill at all?
Yeah, I wonder what, like, Google what does Matt Damon eat for lunch?
Yeah, when you see Matt Damon eating a burrito, I don't see it getting everywhere.
Because he probably doesn't overfill it.
No, I think he just has a great bite and a lot of patience. Wait, what am I Googling?
What does Matt Damon eat for lunch?
He just, I don't know. There's
Can
a lot
we start
of
a Twitter campaign? We got our show. We got our pilot shot. I want to know what Matt Damon eats for lunch.
Is that crazy?
Hashtag
bad?
What does Damon eat for lunch?
What? It doesn't.
Actually, we should have Matt in it.
Mr. Damon. Whenever I think of a bit, I imagine where we were when we came up with it.
Yeah.
Because we've recorded in so many places that it like acts as a memory palace. Like,
right.
I remember recording with Allison Williams. The first one was in her hotel room. So then we were still in New York.
Wait, that was the first one in the hotel room? No, that's if. Oh, wait, her hotel room.
Her hotel room, yeah.
Where was that?
That was at the hotel with like circular windows, like the Maritime Hotel or something.
Dude, that was my hotel. That was our hotel room.
Really?
Both. All right. I don't know the first time we recorded with Allison. I'm not sure where it was, but I think it was at the Rec Room.
That's right. And then the second time was at your hotel. We used to, yeah. That's another place that I forgot we recorded. So we recorded mostly in my apartment, sometimes in your apartment. If it was at work, like for Ricky and Streeter guested episodes, we brought them to the office.
Right.
And then we recorded in.
And then I think. Brian Korber, shout out to Brian Korber, and shout out to Adrian Grenier.
Yeah, who ran Adrian Grenier's record company, which was in the basement of a house he sometimes lived at in Brooklyn.
Yeah, so we went to Adrian Grenier's house.
Never saw him there.
Which was really fucking nice. He didn't want to be around for our podcast recording. But they had an amazing recording studio in the basement, and they recorded for us.
And I remember being so happy. I didn't have to deal with echo because it was like, it was soundproofed and the microphones were like music grade quality, like recording label grade microphones. I'm like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about any of this shit.
I have like old Instagram photos of you in the Rec Room and calling it your happy place. I remember you were so happy in that studio.
It's funny because when we made a HeadGum, I'm like, this is great. Now we can pull off the Adrian Grenier dream of having a room that's a dedicated recording studio.
That's right. But before we did that, it was before we had, so I think in that summer that we started the podcast.
That was Hot Girl Summer, wasn't
what
it?
What is Hot Girl Summer?
It's a meme that's going on. I guess it's over now, but this summer was supposedly Hot Girl Summer on Twitter.
Interesting. I didn't know that, but that's cool to know.
This was separate from Hot Girl Summer. This was podcasting right. Random dude winter.
This was lame boy winter. So you were in your apartment. I was in my apartment. I had like that the loft nearby. And then we found out we were moving. I moved out of the loft into the shrub. Remember the shrubberbs?
Yeah, and we used to record there in the basement with Dave.
Yeah, I moved into this weird little like house in like near Bushwick that had it's like a freestanding house that had a that was covered in vines and it had a creepy little basement. I lived with Dave Rosenberg and we recorded we started recording in that basement because it was so dank and it sounded really good down there, right?
Yeah, because it was cold and humid and nothing echoed because it was just everything was softened.
Mm-hmm. There was cockroaches all over the walls and they didn't deflect sound.
And that was right before we moved because you moved right there and you're like, shit, I have to move to LA like 2 months after that.
Yeah, that was a weird little situation I put myself in. and then once we moved to LA, we recorded at your parents' house?
Yeah, well, first we recorded in an RV or a hotel room while we drove across the country.
That's right. That's right.
Then when we got to LA, we recorded in my parents' house, which was really embarrassing. I'm like, we should wait until my parents aren't home. I don't want them to just hear me record this radio show out of my childhood bedroom.
Yeah, especially given the shit that I would say on it.
What if my mommy came in and said that dinner was ready during the show?
And she would. What if she just came in with bananas for us?
Get out of here, Mom.
You're embarrassing me, and I'm trying to podcast, which is embarrassing enough.
And then we would still do Jake and Amir videos in LA while recording the podcast in LA.
That's right. Yeah, we were all this time we were still doing Jake and Amir.
It was very much like a cross dissolve. Like as Jake and Amir ramped down, this would ramp up.
Yeah. And that
we timed it very right. I don't know if it was borderline accidental, but like the fact that we started the podcast like 2-3 years before we ended the show.
Right. And I think we also talked about HeadGum with Marty, like right when we started the podcast, because he was the one that sold the reason we did the Pete Holmes podcast at Comic-Con is because he had sold something because he was a sales guy at College Humor. So
yeah.
So like that was episode 27 of the podcast, and that was also when we first started talking about doing a podcast network, the three of us.
All right.
And it just took another 2 years.
Yeah. All right. Let's pause right here because I think the end of Jake and Amir, the start of HeadGum is a good like second act. So let's thank some sponsors. We'll be back with a continuation of this amazingly historic story.
You guys will be brought to tears in the second act.
And jeers. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes, yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah, I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog, and it is a slog.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. Like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their fullname.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast,
super simple. It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code helixpartner20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is helixpartner20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we're back. When was it? 2015. Jake and Amir came to an end right around there, and we had the idea to form a podcast network because we were actually on a podcast network in 2014 called Podcast One. Do you remember that?
I do remember that.
we
did a round of meetings.
Yeah.
Including with Earwolf.
In 2013, we were doing the show and I was selling ads by cold emailing brands.
Yeah. Shout out to Nature Box. Shout out to Frank and Oak.
Yeah.
To Harry's Razors, was it? I don't remember the
others. We didn't know what the hell to do, but I'm like, hey, I host this show. It was the number one comedy or whatever the day it came out, because that's how iTunes ranked people. They just, you know, if your show debuted with more than like 5,000 listens, it would be the number one show in their comedy section. We were down to like advertise, and some people were like, yeah, how much do you charge? And I'm like, I don't know, a 10,000. How much do I charge for an ad read? We had no idea.
We were making 10,000 an ad read back then.
Yeah,
times were good.
Turns out it was closer to 100 than 10,000. But then we were like, we should join a network. That's what all these other big shows are doing. And so we took meetings, and I don't even remember where we took meetings other than Podcast
One. We had that meeting with Earwolf and Midroll in Tribeca. Oh, no, in Soho.
Yeah, in New York. And then we chose Podcast One because they introduced us to their CEO, who was like this lifelong Laker fan who had floor seats to every game. And is like, you know, if you join Podcast One, I can take you to some of these Laker games. I'm like, I'm in. 100% I'm in.
The only reason we joined Podcast One is because you thought you were going to get floor tickets to one Laker game. And we signed a year-long contract with them.
A year goes by and I never went to a Laker game.
Of course.
Turns out the contract wasn't great. And I realized like, wait a minute. We could probably sell these ads ourselves.
And that guy, the CEO of that company, like, got in trouble for pointing a gun at people. Right?
Yeah. Never at me.
Brandishing a gun. Yeah. But that like kind of goes into the whole, you're going to shoot your friend in the throat.
Yeah. That is where I got the idea. So then we left and we're like, let's just be independent. And then at a certain point we thought, why don't we just start our own podcast network? We have funny friends.
Well, yeah. And that's the thing. I think we had thought about doing the podcast network at least a year or two before we actually acted on it. Cause like we had talked about doing it, but the timing was weird because you and I moved to LA and Marty was still in New York.
Yeah, and we were also at Podcast One. You can't start a podcast right. network if your podcast isn't on that network.
But I think when we were weighing where to sign, like we considered, like if we sign this, we can't do HeadGum for a year. And we're like, well, it doesn't really, or, but I mean, at that point, we weren't calling it HeadGum.
Yeah.
We were like, but if we sign this, we can't do anything for a year. But we're like, it doesn't matter. We're in LA. Marty's in New York. We were still doing Jake and Amir. So it didn't feel like that necessary.
And then 2015 comes around and we start HeadGum with just our show and nine others, including Twinnovation, still a show on our network. High and Mighty, still a show on our network. Your mom's show, still a show on HeadGum.
This Is Why You're Single, still a show on HeadGum.
Wow. So of the like 9 or 10 shows we started, 4 or 5 are still around.
Solid. That's really not bad at all.
Yeah, and we've, you know, grown to 30 shows at this point, but we'll always remember the core 9. That actually reminds me, we have to fire your mother.
What?
Yeah. Just numbers-wise, it doesn't make a ton of sense for her to stay on HeadGum. I mean, you get that.
She gets ads. She gets ads.
She owns 14% of HeadGum. That's how we had to bribe her to start her show.
Yeah, so you can't kick her off. She's going to kick you off.
Yeah, I mean, episode 100 was a classic. That's when Ben and Thomas were on together.
Oh, damn. I remember that.
Two veterans. Yeah, the two veterans in here for number cool. 100.
But this is one of our first shows with 4 guests, too. So that'll be a terrible idea, maybe, too.
We might get to 0 questions. Thomas, one of the bits I did for my old one is we never got to questions. I always ask to wait one more second.
So
if we can continue that bit on this one without just like...
Maybe. I like the question. Thomas has a lot of fun.
Oh, well, then this is going to be weird. We'll see what
happens.
It already
begins.
When we get to a question.
Questions are my favorite part.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I just like talking. I don't like listening to anybody's questions.
Oh, but I want to help the little boys and girls.
We record, was that in the house on Mikkel Terrena?
That's right. That was pre-HeadGum in the studio that we sort of set up at the solarium of this house because it was a glass room.
Yeah, but I guess when we shut all the shades, it worked, right?
Or we just had to record at night.
Oh, yeah, but I mean sound-wise, because normally a glass box would not be a good place.
Yes, that's true. Then we moved houses, recorded some at that house. Remember, Lil Dicky came over to that house and we recorded with George Basil.
That was the one where I lived in the little cabin in the back?
Yeah, exactly.
And we recorded in the cabin often, right?
That's right. Because like the basement at the Shrubberbs, it was a dank little outhouse.
It's funny how studios basically just need to be sad rooms for them to sound good.
Yeah, the like, sadder not, the room, the better the studio.
Padding on the walls, insulation, that's one thing. But if you can feel the sadness in the air, it really helps.
Yeah, it diffuses the audio, the echoing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we finally, when we started HeadGum, we're like, let's all move in together and get like a 4-bedroom instead of a 3 and build a studio in like the den or the 4th bedroom.
Yeah. And that, I think that in like, now that I look back on it, that really was like our cool ass Zuckerberg type thing that we got such a silly house.
Yeah, we that was our hot Zuckerberg summer. We got a house that we couldn't afford to live in because we would like pay some of the rent with HeadGum money.
Right.
Or it's like, it's an office / house, so we can afford this mansion.
We basically got a huge house and just split the rent 4 ways between 3 people because HeadGum was considered that since one room is theirs, HeadGum pays.
And
tax-wise, that's fine.
It was fully furnished because the lady that used to live there didn't want to move any of the furniture out. We brought like an arcade machine in there just to complete the idea that this was like a Silicon Valley hellhole.
Yeah.
And that just to show you how big that place was, when we moved out, I believe the owner was just like, I'll just sell it for $3 million.
And she sold it in 3 days.
Yeah. So we were living in a place and throwing parties at a place that ended up selling for more money than we'll ever make in our entire lives.
Awesome.
Remember we had that party and the bathroom flooded?
Yeah. Why did someone clogged my toilet? Because that was also when we were looking for houses that was the beginning of the Raven's Nest bit and the beginning of the master and the ensuite.
Yes.
Because when we were house hunting, we were like, we were so hellbent on getting the master and deserving the master.
And then at a certain point, people were just coming over to record at our house that we didn't necessarily know when they were coming because we didn't have like a producer yet. We didn't have super producer Mars. So it's just like,
yeah,
whenever you want to record, it's like, all right, Sunday at fucking 9 a.m. And we're like, huh, that's not ideal.
That started making it. That was like when the beginning of the dream was over. Because when you start a network and it's just your buddies, it's always fun.
Yeah.
And then you like pick up more shows that are just like, I mean, let's be clear. Everyone on HeadGum is a close personal friend of mine.
Absolutely.
But like you don't know everybody quite as well. And then you're like, I'm hungover and I just want to watch football all day. But then the doorbell's ringing and somebody's like, well, no, you have to host podcasters. Because it's the host and their guests. And sometimes the guests get there before the host. And then you're just sitting there making small talk with somebody, but you just want to have your Sunday, you know?
Yeah, so we're like, maybe we should get an office at a certain point and go our separate ways.
And then hunting for the office was super fun, too. We saw so many places. We were looking in downtown, in the Arts District, just regular straight-up downtown. I think we're looking at like Hollywood a bunch too.
I will say we nailed it because we've been in this office for like almost 3 years now and we have no notes.
Yeah. Do you remember? We like had a guy and we looked at so many places.
Wasn't one of the places like on the other side of the river that was adjacent? Like we were sharing a space with a dog grooming a studio or something? Yeah,
it was a place. It was almost a place that we went with because it was like so much space with like a backyard, but it was on the other side of the highway, so you couldn't actually like walk to any of the cool stuff in the Arts District.
Yeah.
And then it was also, it was a dog grooming place, and they were trying to evict the guy that was there. but when we were there, we were seeing it, and he was like super suspicious. And the realtor was like, no, they're like going to get the space next door, but I want to show them this so they can see what they can do with the space.
And we're like, I'm so sorry, man. I'm taking over your studio.
We're like walking around being like, oh yeah, this is nice. We could do that next door, but we were fully just going to take that guy's spot.
Two dogs there getting groomed. Give us like the head tilt. What are you guys doing here?
You can leave the dogs.
Do you want to talk about like the future? What are the next 400 episodes like?
I mean, there are things that we've introduced slowly but surely, like the unsolicited advice.
Yeah, we keep having grandiose visions, like creating segments. So like unsolicited advice was born from that. I'm like, oh, that was great. We should do more. And then we never did more.
Yeah. I mean, there's like a like some kind of throwback 15 minutes, you know, the throwback 15 with the TH.
Yeah. The follow-up pup, something that we do occasionally, but not really with any regularity that we can call a segment.
Yeah. But I kind of like the idea of, I mean, well, maybe it'd get repetitive, but it's fun to be nostalgic. Like, I mean, that's like what the Patreon is a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Us getting to talk about like the stuff that we've made in the past.
Shout out to our Patreon.
Yeah, maybe there should be something that's more like future-centric on it.
What about the first segment idea will be us soliciting segment ideas, whether it be on Twitter or on our subreddit. Every time we release a new podcast, there's like a stickied post at the top. Leave a comment. Let us know what segment ideas, just like a fun five-minute conversation leaping off point could be.
I like that. Like an icebreaker, a game to play.
Yeah, a mini podcast within the podcast.
You know what? I also just realized that the initial concept of this show, I've said this before, but it was based to me off of Car Talk, because Click and Clack from Car Talk, it's like they know a lot about cars, but like the premise of the show, you don't have to know a lot about cars also, because it's just the way they communicate with each other and the way they interact with their callers. Like that's what the fun of the show is. I would listen to them do anything.
Right.
It's not necessarily about cars. So I was like, what is something that just makes Amir and I talk? Anyway, that show, they had a segment just past the midway point of their show, which was the Puzzler. Every week they would read a quiz, a puzzle, a riddle, basically, and tell anyone if they knew the answer to write them a postcard, and they would reveal the winner on the next week's show.
They would come up with a riddle, or is it like a famous riddle?
They would, I believe they would come up with the riddles, and they would have riddles submitted. And one of the guys was like a puzzle guy, so like sometimes the riddles would be submitted, and he would be like, "But I like it wasn't perfect. I fixed it," and so he would like edit them too.
Yeah, or like
he was sort of a puzzle curator.
This is like how we wish we came up with Hey Riddle Riddle, which is another podcast on the HeadGum Network,
right?
In
exactly.
Which three funny hosts actually solve riddles.
Oh, you know what? This section, a new segment could basically be podcast pilots. So every single every episode, we just spend 10 minutes piloting a brand new podcast.
That's good. Or stealing another podcast show. Because,
right,
because
it would still be the first ever done by us.
That's right. So we'll steal the riddle one, but only for 10 minutes. So by the time they get mad, that podcast is over.
Yeah, and we also say the name Hey Riddle Riddle as we've stolen their idea. So
yeah, it's almost so like if that it's sounds, an ad.
If 10 minutes of yeah, it's a sorry, we recorded an ad. As long
that's
as we
good.
Shout out who we stole from,
yeah,
it's just an ad, and so then we can invoice them.
That's a good segment. So the segment is podcasts we wish we hosted, and then we host that show for about 10 minutes.
Interesting. That's good. But I think we should also come up with original. We can steal and come up with original, okay?
Thievery and Brievery.
Is the name of our new podcast.
Why, there's nothing more brief than creating a podcast.
I'm the briefest of all.
All right, how about a segment called Cousins?
Okay.
I don't know, where does that take you? Well, we don't have to figure it out.
Oh, actually, I would totally be interested to look at your family tree. You
know? a genealogy segment of sorts.
Yeah, a little family history. We find out what your great-great-grandfather did as a hobby.
Yeah, I would have to figure that out first.
I know, but that's one of those things that's like interesting for you. You should do that. And then I'd love to hear.
What about, you know, like sometimes, or maybe it was just once, but I created a musical.
What?
You like asked me about this fake musical that I was producing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The house, the garage, the Pixar movie.
The moon's like, in your sky, in your eye, and I'm the tree, and I'm the guy, and in your eye, it's a tree, it's me.
The moon is also the tree?
No.
It sounded like the moon was the bad guy in that song.
The clicker's the bad guy.
And who plays the clicker?
I mean, there's the dream casting role, and then there's the person who we're probably going to settle for.
Let's hear both.
James Earl Jones.
Yep, and you settle for?
My cousin. Yeah, exactly. So, like, you almost have to ask me questions like I'm pitching you a movie. Mm-hmm.
This is all rolls up into podcast pitch, podcast pilot.
Yeah,
podcast. The 10-minute end of our show where we just try out, like, all right, that was If I Were You. That was pretty good. Now here is another show that we could do. Let us know if you guys like it better.
And this is just an example of one segment or a bunch of segments that we can do.
This is the segment that is constantly changing because it's always the same, but it's always different. Podcast pilot, two truths and a lie. You know, then we play.
That's good. All right.
Podcast
cool.
pilot, what should I drive?
Oh, that's
and we talk
good.
About me, my leasing a car, which I still haven't done.
Yeah. Oh, how about I give an update on my garbage disposal situation?
Oh, yeah. Tell us, please.
So as many of you know, if you listened to the last episode, there was a quarter stuck at the bottom of my garbage disposal that prevented the blades from spinning and effectively ruined the garbage disposal.
Correct. Oh, it's ruined?
Well, not ruined, but it was stuck to the point where I couldn't use it anymore.
Right. It was in ruin.
That's right. So I went, like I said I was going to do, I went to Baller Hardware, and they gave me two tools. The guy looked at it, and he's like, this is what you want to do. Try this Allen wrench, which is that little S-shaped wrench where you stick it into a hole at the bottom of the garbage disposal from like a cupboard underneath your sink and rotate mm-hmm. the blades as hard as you can in the opposite direction, hoping that the coin would be jarred loose. And if that doesn't work, here's this other tool called the garbage disposal unclogger, which looks like just this thick wine bottle opener, a corker, that you jam inside your garbage disposal and just fucking jackhammer until something breaks or jars loose.
Jesus.
I was very skeptical about that second one. Fortunately, tried the first one, used the Allen wrench, rotated it, blades moved in the opposite direction, coin came out. Picked it up with scissors, cleaned it off, sent you a photo, posted it online. So I didn't have to use the garbage disposal.
Easy peasy, worked right away, nothing, like no hiccups.
At first I didn't know which direction was clockwise versus counterclockwise, so I tried really hard in one direction, that didn't work. I tried really hard in the other. I'm like, huh, should I just try extra hard and hope to God that I'm not like smushing the coin or breaking the blade? And then I did that in the counterclockwise direction and eventually like loosened up, rotated the blades, removed the coin with its scissors.
Perfect.
Home improvement show. That's another segment.
Oh, yes, we should definitely do that. Did we talk about this when you were talking about your your garbage disposal? I just want to reboot this old house and have it be me and you.
Right, because we don't actually know how shit works. Like, what if we had to build a wall from scratch?
Yeah.
It's a good premise for us. Well, I don't know how you grew up, but like my parents were often like, don't do it yourself. Hire somebody smarter and more professional to do it. Like, you can't install that. You shouldn't do it because you don't know how. Don't learn. Just hire a professional.
See, that's different than I mean, I grew up, I'm in the same position as you are, that like I'm inept. But it's not because my parents were like, hire somebody. It was just because my dad was just like, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Yeah. Both our parents didn't want us to learn shit the hard way.
Yeah. I think my parents didn't have time to teach anyone anything because there were six of us and they just needed to keep us alive.
Yeah. It's not like, here, this weekend, I'm going to teach Amir how to change a tire. It's like, I signed you up for AAA. Now go take a tennis lesson.
Which, I mean, like, especially now with the gig economy, it is kind of true that you can just, I think it's still really valuable to know all this stuff and one should. And I'm slowly learning as I become a homeowner and stuff. But it's also worth like just teaching somebody how to like be smart when it comes to like hiring the right person and price comparing and asking the right questions. Cause those are adult things too.
Yeah. It's like, why learn how to cook when I can click a button and have Pad CU delivered to me for $11?
Yeah, and it's worth instilling in your children the idea that sometimes the delivery fee plus the tip plus the baked-in service charges make the $11 Pad Thai $24. And at that point, it really is worth it to go make a bunch of Pad Thai.
Yeah, but then you make the Pad Thai and it takes 6.5 hours and there's grease all over
your
kitchen.
But you make enough for the whole week.
All right. I'll make the fucking Pad Thai. Jesus Christ. Just never taste that good.
That reminds me, we should do a cooking show.
Yeah. It's like, how much money do you spend on a fancy smoothie or acai bowl that you can make for 98 cents at home?
I went through this exact same thing. I just made an acai bowl for lunch here.
Yeah. And then how does it taste versus the one you can get for $14 at Backyard Bowls?
Well, I mean, Backyard Bowls is the goat. That I would do that in a heartbeat if Backyard Bowls were in New York City. There is not a good acai place in Brooklyn. They don't fucking exist.
I wonder why that is.
I mean, I would kill. I want to franchise Backyard Bowls and open one at the bottom of my building. That's my fucking
dream. Also, like, you look at the ingredients of Backyard Bowls, and it seems pretty easy. It's like fruit and peanut butter. How can we not make that shit?
I don't know. It's crazy. Like, the Backyard Bowls makes the perfect blend of everything. And everywhere else, every other acai and smoothie place I go to, I'm just trying to create the Backyard Bowl. That's what I'm trying to do.
In a perfect world, they're all Backyard Bowls.
Yeah. Can you take this out, add this? I don't need that.
But actually,
use this instead of this.
Can I just pull up the menu of a place called Backyard? You're in Hawaii. There's this place in Hollywood.
It's perfect.
All right, so that's a bunch of options for you guys just to get you started.
Indeed, yeah. Feel free to send us your theme songs, your questions, and now your segment pitches.
Keep your segments coming. All right, that's it. Enough dwelling in the past, thinking about the future. That was episode 400 of If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet, hosted by us.
I'm Jake.
And I was Amir. Yeah, send your questions, your theme songs, everything to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. We'll be back, of course, next week, and then the week after, and the week after, and so on and so forth, until we're all dead.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.
I feel like a lot of people will listen to the first podcast, and then it'll slowly dwindle and then plateau at the amount of people that will actually be listening to the podcast.
Right. So, until it's zero and we're just killing ourselves in a Starbucks.
And that'll be our last episode.
All right, remember to write in ifireyoushow@gmail.com.
That's right. All right, play us out.
If I were you, if I were you, if I were you,
worse.
The show.
Yeah, what happened there?
.com. Oh, we do have a website, ifiwereyoushow.com. That's perfect.
The show.
.com. See you, everyone.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, excuse me, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will.
Can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.